SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I hit the under in that Colts-Ravens game. I thought it was a really good game. It was a battle. It was just intense. It was violent. It was physical. I thought Minshew, for all intent purposes, was awesome. He got it done. That's all there is to it. I thought the late drive to tie it was more than impressive. And then their defense came up huge in overtime. They got the ball back, and the kid Gay nailed the kick. Two big kicks from him. He nailed both of them, and they win, and the under hit.
In fact, he made, Scotty, four field goals in this game.
Yeah.
Three of them were from 53 or more yards. He had three 53-yarders and a 54-yarder in overtime to finish it. So Matt Gay, a huge day for him. Here is Lamar. Ravens had lots of opportunities. I know there was one really bad missed pass interference call that would have helped the Ravens out as well. Here is Lamar afterwards.
Like I said, you know, we had plenty of opportunities to put the game away, especially when our defense did a great job at stopping those guys, you know, great field position, and we didn't move the ball at all. That ticked me off. You know, it ticked all of us off. We like to finish the drive. The defense did great today. They always do great, but especially today, you know, giving us that opportunity to finish the game, and we did it.
It is what it is. That was a gigantic win for Steichen and the Colts and Minshew. And it's been all about Richardson since day one. He gets concussed. Minshew goes in and does the job. And we knew. We knew on Sports Grid, smarter to be on Sports Grid, we knew that that number was too high. All week we said, you can't give them 8.5 with that guy in the slop in a cyclone in rainy, wet, soggy Charm City. That's going to be a battle because the Colts have been battling since the season started. They've been playing everybody tough.
Only 3 weeks, Scotty, and we do welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast, Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Byline. Great to have everybody with us. Only 3 weeks, but the Colts are in first place in the South. I mean, they're 2-1. Jacksonville's 1-2. Tennessee's 1-2. Houston's 1-2. Long way to go, but a nice start for, like you said, Steichen and the Colts being at 2-1. Let's go to Miami now, where the Dolphins scored the most points by an NFL team in a game since 1966, Scotty. They put a 70 spot on the Denver Broncos, 70-20. Achan had four touchdowns. Raheem Mostert had four touchdowns. They scored 10 touchdowns as a team. 700 yards of total offense. Here's Tua. You know, we weren't trying to embarrass them. Yeah, but we kind of did.
I think it in this league and, you know, around the league, it's about respect in the NFL. And as we went out there, you know, I feel like that's what we got. We got respect, and we're not trying to go out there and humiliate teams. You know, that's just what it happened to look like. You know, trying to run the ball, trying to kill some time. You know, big plays opened up, and you know that's what it looked like.
I mean, it is what it is. It was unbelievable. I bet on the Dolphins. Mafia is my witness. I laid the points, and they covered. I know I said on here the game could be close. And everybody ran with that. I have nothing to do with these games. Like, how stupid do you have to be? Like, you seriously think that I have something to do with any of this? I'm just trying to hit bets, brah. If you don't like it, have a sandwich. I laid the money with Miami, and I hit the bet and cashed. And that's all that matters. I don't care what you think of me.
That is absolutely all that matters at the end of the day. Let's go to the Broncos side of things. I got a couple good ones for you. So obviously, embarrassing
this
loss.
Guy.
It was brought up to Sean Payton several times in his press conference, and eventually he just really didn't want to hear it anymore.
I know that you said it's embarrassing, but this is kind of an historic game. I mean,
I'm aware.
Third time the team has scored 70 points over 70.
What's the question? mean, what's the question?
How do you feel about it being historically embarrassing?
Next question.
Yeah, I can't. With all your money and all your genius, and you're the greatest coach in the league, can't handle the hot kitchen after the game, huh? I am enjoying this like no other. I have said over and over, he's the most overrated, overpaid, over-talked about coach I think I've ever seen in my life. They treat this guy like he's Lombardi, honestly. I mean, he wasn't even good on TV. I mean, I don't even know where this comes from. But after he went right into the fraternity of coaching and said that Hackett was the worst coach ever, he deserves to suffer like no other this year. I hope they rub it in his face. In fact, I hope the Bears beat him this week in Chicago. I really do. I wouldn't go near that game betting because they both are hairdryer city, though. I think the Bears are worse than Denver. I really do. They're awful. I mean, the Bears are anemic.
You get the feeling that this week, or at least this morning when Sean woke up, he was wishing he was back at that nice fat condo he bought out in L.A. when he wasn't coaching anymore, just doing TV a couple days a week, making nice coin, going out to the beach. I mean, he's got to be wishing that he was back in that whole setup. One more for you, because I thought this one was good. This is Broncos offensive lineman Garrett Bowles. He's been with the team for a while. Bad for a little while. And Garrett, let everybody know about that.
Right now, what are the emotions like going through your head personally?
It's tired of losing, man. I've been here for 7 years, and all I've done is loss, and it's frustrating.
I mean, awesome. Your boy.
Yeah, they're not going to like that. But you know what? I actually like it. Just tell it like it is, man. This sucks. And just say it. And then, what's he going to be in trouble with the front office? Going to be in trouble with the overrated hack coach, Sean Payton. I want to see what they do moving forward after. That was the most unbelievably embarrassing bend over KY jelly loss I have ever seen in my life in the NFL. I can never remember a game worse than what I saw yesterday.
And I'm not a defender of Russell Wilson at all. Believe me, I don't defend Russell Wilson. But for people even today to be like, well, Russ, it's all been... If you think yesterday had anything to do with Russell Wilson, Scotty, honestly, they gave up 70 points. I mean, nobody wanted to tackle. I mean, what did yesterday's game really have to do with Russell Wilson? Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. That was on all 53 guys, completely embarrassing. And now they play the Bears. God bless and good luck. Quickly, the Bills beat the Commanders 37-3. Sam Howell had a very rough day, Scott.
He was awful.
Bills fans on their feet, making noise on this third down. Howell. And it's intercepted. What a play. Epinesa is going to go. For AJ Epinesa, and it's a pick six for the big guy.
Great game by him. Didn't that kid play at Iowa or something? I thought Howell was just a tragic effort. He was pathetic. I mean, that fourth down pass at the goal line into the ground, like, who was he throwing to, an ant?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'll tell you what, Carver High, I mean, it didn't stop there either. The bleeding was everywhere, including Snoopy. I had the Pats going for 15 in a row over the Jets, and I was laying 2.5. It got a little hairy, but in the end, another cover.
Yeah, another cover. I was with you. That was another one that I had yesterday, was the Pats. I was on them all week, and thankfully they did come through. Really awful game to watch. I mean, can you imagine sitting out there at MetLife for that game yesterday afternoon? I mean, honestly, you got
to see the guy with his teeth
kind of
falling out.
Oh, that was incredible. It just summed up the entire day. Either way, Patriots do get it done. 15-10. So they get their first win of the year. They're now 1-2. On the Jets side of things, they fall to 1-2. Now, Zach Wilson, like, it's hard, Scotty. Like, he doesn't complete a pass over 10 yards. Like, it's very difficult to watch the guy play. But Robert Saleh, he ain't backing down. Here he is, still thinks that Zach Wilson will get the job done for the Jets.
Has Zach shown you enough to keep him as the starter going
forward?
Yeah,
he's fine. That's not a question.
At what point do you just decide maybe, you know, you don't want to let the season get away from you? So do you continue to go, like, if it continues to go in this bad direction?
We're still early in the season. You know, we knew that even with Aaron at quarterback, we knew that there was going to be some hiccups along the way because of the new offense, new
hiccups.
Play caller,
yeah.
New line.
New
players all over the offense side of the ball, and now you've got this curveball that was sent to us, and so there's, you know, they're acclimating, and they're going to get better, and but it's still very early in the season.
Yeah, I don't know. It is going to wear real thin. His, like, we still got plenty of time stuff. Like, it's getting worse by the week, by the minute, and I'll give him this. They should have been buried in that game yesterday like 3 or 4 times. And the Pats, I think they suck too. Like, there is nothing exactly about that team that impresses me at all. I got to be honest with you, except maybe the Gonzalez kid in the secondary and maybe Judon I like. I think Stevenson, they always talk about how great he is. He's overrated. And Mac Jones, he's another one that sucks. That team is so average, it's not even funny. You got to admit.
Their offense is pathetic, and if they were playing anyone else yesterday, they would have lost too, Scotty. Their offense is pathetic. I mean, it's just the way that it is right now. Saleh reiterated today, Wilson is our unquestioned quarterback. He's not the reason we lost. You've already got him fighting on the sidelines. You saw Zach Wilson getting into with Garrett Wilson, Carter fighting with the running back coach. This is going to become an absolute disaster.
Why? What did Wilson do to? I didn't see what Wilson.
Well, he was kind of looked at Zach Wilson at one point. It was just kind of like putting his arms in the air. He was very animated with him on the side. I'll send you the clip during the break. He was and then afterwards, of course, it's, oh no, I'm riding with him. You know what's going on behind closed doors. They all think that this kid sucks. And that coach standing up there every week saying, this is our guy, you know, we're going to back him, is just going to make more guys in the locker room become more upset. Now, to be fair, they don't have anybody else to go to, I guess. So, I mean, but you could get somebody off the street right now who could at least complete a pass of 10 or 15 yards, right? Like, it's, I'm not even saying that. Like, it's just, it's true.
Would you go to Ryan?
It's so tough to watch. He already said he doesn't want it. I saw him this morning on, he was doing the whatever CBS show, and he's like, yeah, I don't want to. My agent, looked into it, but I don't really want to do that right now. Nobody wants to go there either, and I don't blame him. What a tough situation. They're playing the Chiefs on NBC Sunday night, too. How about that for a Sunday night game? Chiefs and the Jets at MetLife. Kind of crowd you're going to get for that one there.
Well, let me guess. That's, they're going to beat the Chiefs, too, like they beat the Bills, huh? So we're all going to bet on the Chiefs and lose money. I've had enough of fixed games. No. Thanks. The Bills, are you kidding me? The Bills are scoring 40 a week now. No one will touch them, but they lose to the Jets, and this guy turns the ball over 4 times. That game was fixed. I don't care what anybody says.
Packers beat the Saints 18-17. Packers were down 17-0, Scotty, in this game in the second half. But back comes Jordan Love, finding Romeo Doubs late to give them the lead on Fox.
Make it look like man and then just fall back in his zone and pass off some of those routes.
Love on third down to the end zone. What a catch. Touchdown. Love to Doubs.
How about that? I mean, honestly, I was laying one. I cannot believe down 17-0 I pushed. Honestly, what a savior that was. I was going to be in a big hole, and that just was beautiful. I don't know any way you slice it, because I got to tell you, I thought the Packers first half, they looked terrible.
Terrible. I like Love a lot, Scotty. He could play. He's showing you something. He was missing his best guys, too, yesterday. Again, no Jones, no Watson, and he still found a way to get them that win. Now, Carr did leave the game for the Saints. Winston came in the second half, did drive them for a potential game-winning field goal, but the kid missed for New Orleans. That gives Green Bay the victory. Yes. Meanwhile, the Jaguars, who were the absolute unquestioned, no doubt about it pick to win the AFC South coming into the year, are out to a 1-2 start. They lose at home, like they always do, to the Houston Texans, 37-17. C.J. Stroud has been great. Here he is finding Tank Dell with the long touchdown on Fox.
Stroud to throw, the blitz is on. He floats one wide open, and there he goes. Tank Dell all the way in for a Texan touchdown. A blitz-beating 68-yarder. Rookie to rookie.
Maybe the Steelers should be worried about this kid on Sunday down there. I'm telling you, and the Steelers are three-point favorites. That might be a buy right there.
It's possible. He has looked very good so far. That's for sure. Nice job by Stroud getting his first win. Browns beat the Titans 27-3. I think you said at the beginning of the show the Titans didn't even show up. That's about right in this game. They basically didn't even show up. Here's Deshaun Watson, though, finding Amari Cooper on CBS.
Really credit the entire defense. They came to play today.
Play action from Watson. Oh, going to take the shot. Cooper wide open. Touchdown.
How about twice they hold teams to 3 points, the Bengals and the Titans. I got to give them credit. That defense is sick.
And the game they lost, you know, their offense gave up two touchdowns to the Steelers, right? Steelers defense scored twice in that game. So the Brown defense didn't play bad against touchdown Kenny and the Steelers. It was just that Watson kept throwing them the football. Lions beat the Falcons 20-6. Unfortunately, I was a week late with my Sam LaPorta anytime touchdown pick. Oh. He got one yesterday, though, on Fox from Jared Goff.
Here is in the game. Goff stops, loads, open LaPorta. He's got it, and he's got his first NFL touchdown.
I hit that bet, too. I had Detroit -3, cover. I was loving life in those 1 o'clock games, I got to tell you. And late, I got that Kansas City. I teased it and hit the over. So I lost Dallas, but I only played those two in the afternoon. I stayed off of that Seattle game.
Chargers beat the Vikings 28-24. This game was everything you could possibly ever expect from a Charger or Viking game, all wrapped into one. Cousins had a chance at the end, Scotty, but Kenneth Murray in the end zone on Fox.
When Cousins gets the snap, steps up, throws for the end zone, deflected, and it's intercepted. Oh. Kenneth Murray, after the double deflection, ends up with the football.
Oh, no. More bad news for the Chargers. They did get their first win, but they lost Mike Williams, who tears his ACL. Dude, always hurt. It sucks, man. Mike Williams, a hell of a player, but he just never plays. Never plays, Scotty. It sucks.
It's unbelievable. They've had it with Keenan Allen, Williams. They've had all these injuries with their legs, even their running back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
I mean, the BetMGM 1500 first bet offers the greatest thing that's ever happened to civilization, as far as I'm concerned, for all new BetMGM customers. Get an account on iOS or Android in the Play Store or at BetMGM.com. Sign up, deposit at least $10 into your account, place your first wager, and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. So if the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once the wager is settled. Check out the terms and conditions at BetMGM.com. Everybody's talking about it. The 1500 first bet offer at BetMGM. Davis Lee Rob Maddock joins us on the Lion's Share every day from Fantasy Sports Today. You can check it out Saturdays at 8 with Scoop Mish and every day on Coast to Coast. Davis, hope you had a good weekend. I know you had a better weekend than the Houston Astros, who got swept by the Royals at Minute Maid. I almost fell over. They beat them in 5 of 6, 2 of 3 in Kansas City, 3 out of 3 at Minute Maid. And that is the end of the Astros' chances to win the West. Texas has won 5 in a row. Their lead is 2.5. They're not making up 2.5 games in 5 days.
No, they're not. And honestly, things probably could have gone a little bit worse for them had Seattle. I mean, had Seattle taken one of those games there against Houston, things could have gotten even worse for them. So I guess on the balance of things, if you are going to get swept by the Kansas City Royals, which is something I literally cannot believe I'm saying in September. I mean, you know, 40-man roster, Kansas City Royals, getting swept by that group, not good. But I guess things could have been worse had Seattle peeled one off, because now Houston at least is in. They are in the driver's seat. They command their destiny in getting that second American League wild card.
So the Orioles, it was 2 games for 3-4 weeks. Now it's 2.5 over Tampa. And I think that also is a done deal.
I think that is probably a done deal. Baltimore gets, they get to play the Nationals. So I'm going to go ahead and chalk up 2 wins there. Then they close the season against the Boston Red Sox. I think they should be able to go 3-for-2 there. And honestly, even 2 of 3 there might get it done, because the Rays finish off the season against the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays have absolutely everything to play for. They are 2 games up on Houston, 2.5 games up on Seattle. But if the Blue Jays aren't careful, I mean, this would be absolutely devastating for people who've hung with the Blue Jays all there. But I mean, can you imagine if the Blue Jays lose here 2 games in a row to the New York Yankees? I mean, can you imagine if this Yankees season goes that direction, like the most useless, worthless Yankees season that I can remember, and if they dash the playoff hopes of the Toronto Blue Jays, like, just would be so brutal.
It really would, and I still wouldn't care. What I care about is Seattle and Houston. Now, Houston's lead for the last wild card is 0.5 game. The Mariners can jump them tonight in Seattle. Castillo against Verlander. Who do you like?
You know what? I cannot possibly take the Astros right now. I cannot watch what they did against the Kansas City Royals. And look, I know that that is not how things work, and that Verlander is the better pitcher. The Astros probably, on the balance of power, are the better team. I mean, that's what the market is telling us right now. But you know what? I'm taking, and not only this, I'll say it's such a depressing spot for the Astros. Why don't we just take the Mariners run line, -1.5, +170 over with our friends at BetMGM. It feels like the Mariners are poised and the Astros are the exact opposite right now.
So let's look at the National League wild card situation. It's real simple. Phillies in, Arizona and the Cubs are tied. Arizona lost to the Yankees today in the wet Bronx. It's been raining in New York since before Christ. And Miami is 1 back, Cincinnati 2.5 back. I'm not talking about the Padres anymore. They're not making up 5 games in a week. So what do you think? Miami, a game out of the Cubs and Arizona. The Marlins are still live.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and call Cincinnati dead at this point. I just think they are far too inconsistent. I've been rooting for them this whole time, and I just am going to take them out of this conversation. I said this last week when we did the show. I think I'm going to give it to the Miami Marlins. The Marlins get a series here against another pathetic New York team. They get to go up against the New York Metropolitans. There are two pathetic New York teams that we have been beating up on all year. I'm going against them there. And look, I know you don't want to hear it, but they also get to close the season. This is probably the easiest run in because they get their final 2 games against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think they probably, you know, they said if they take the 2 of those, it's over. You know, it's done. The Marlins are going to be in.
Yo, you need to calm down on the Pirates. They've been playing really good lately. They were down 9 runs to the Reds and beat them 13-12 over the weekend. You got to be kidding me. They've been beating everyone. They went to Wrigley and won both those games. They mean business.
It's true. Yeah, both of our teams, the Royals and the Pirates, with absolutely nothing to play for, just enjoying playing spoiler here at the end of the season. I don't know. I got a feeling that this is all going to end up working out for the Miami Marlins, and our boy Scoop Mish is going to get to go to some playoff games.
They scored 21 runs in the two last games of that series in Wrigley. They lost the first game, won the last two, and scored that many runs. So, you know, they beat them 13-12, lost 4-2 to them on Sunday, but beat them 7-5 on Friday. They've won every series, the Cubs series, the Reds series. I got to tell you, I'm actually, you know, relatively proud of my Pirates that they're 74-82. I got to be honest with you. All right, we got a doubleheader tonight, Davis Lee Roth. I want to get your snags for the two NFL Pain Day Monday Nighters tonight in Tampa and in the Jungle.
Yep, firing some props tonight. I think the passing games are probably going to do pretty decent tonight. Got a couple unders here. Beginning it, though, with DeAndre Swift and the Philadelphia Eagles was all over DeAndre Swift. Last week when we hopped in here in that game against the Minnesota Vikings, we did it last Wednesday. Don't really see any reason that Swift is priced this way. I mean, I think Swift is clearly going to be the unquestioned lead back for the Philadelphia Eagles. You don't really put that genie back in the bottle. 28 carries, 175 yards. Gainwell, going to play a little bit, no doubt, but I would anticipate, you know, 15 to 18 touches for Swift in this game. He's more than efficient enough to get it done. The Buccaneers defense, again, fine, but the Eagles should dominate there. Swift, I'm taking a lot of stances on Swift in the prop market tonight.
All right, what about Rashad White?
This is really, it's actually kind of similar to just betting on the Philadelphia Eagles on the spread, but I do think that White is going to go under 47.5 rushing yards here, priced fairly over there at BetMGM. White was awful in week one, one of the worst performances in the NFL in week one, minus 39 rush yards under expected, was really good in week two against the Chicago Bears, but guess what? Everyone is really good against the Chicago Bears. That is the worst team in professional football. Just complete lack of effort, complete lack of organization. I think pretty much every – I mean, look, Clyde Edwards-Helaire scored a rushing touchdown against the Chicago Bears. Anyone can do well against the Chicago Bears. So we are going under 47.5 rushing yards for Rashad White. I just don't really think there's going to be any running lanes there for him. The Eagles' front seven, pretty good. Their secondary – not so good. We saw that. I mean, Alexander Mattison could not get anything going against the Eagles. Ramondre Stevenson couldn't get anything going against them, but they gave it up in the passing game to both Kirk Cousins and Mac Jones. So that's the direction I see that game going tonight.
But you'd still like Philly to win this game and cover?
Yeah. Yeah. I do like the Philadelphia side here. I think Hurts has been pretty bad, honestly, negative expected points per play the first two games of the season. I think they make a real concerted effort to score, you know, 30, 35 tonight. And I don't really see the Buccaneers being able to match that pace.
How about this guy last year? It was so great. Went to the Super Bowl. This year his QBR is 36, 29th in the league. It's disgusting. All right. What about your boy, Tutu Atwell of the Rams?
Absolutely. This is my boy, probably the only player in the NFL that weighs either the same amount or less than me. Now, Nacua has obviously been the story. Our boy Puka has been the story. But Atwell's actually been awesome. I mean, he's got the 16th most fantasy points per game of any wide receiver in the NFL. He's their, not only is he their deep threat guy, but he is also their, you know, jet motion trick play, flea flicker wide receiver as well. I just think that puts them in a really nice spot against the Bengals tonight. Over 54.5 receiving yards. Also like his anytime touchdown. I think BetMGM has that at plus 270. You can also parlay those if you're feeling frisky.
All right, what about this last one? Williams, you're throwing up here with a big under from the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can win this one a couple different ways. Obviously, look, if Joe Burrow's healthy, the Rams are going to trail for most of this game. And even if he's not, they got Ronnie Rivers, they got Zach Evans, and I guess maybe this will just be one where I'm kind of being stubborn, but I just don't think Kyren Williams is all that good. I think he's more effective in the passing game than he is on the ground. And I just honestly, I do love to bet rushing unders on primetime games because it's a little bit of solace that you have an under when the games stink. That is a pro tip here from your friend Davis Matic on the Lion Share. If you bet unders on the primetime games, you're not nearly as disappointed when they're bad football games.
So, and you like the Bengals here to cover?
No, I like the Rams side. I think you're just not getting any discount on Burrow's calf, really.
All right, so Swift, $115, anytime tutty. White, under 47.5 rushing. Atwell, over 54.5 receiving. Williams, under 59.5 rushing. All right, Davis Lee, we'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Great stuff.
Good luck tonight, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, Mike, I think Seattle looked a lot more like I envisioned them looking this year, like last year. They played like last year yesterday. I thought they handled their business at home against the Panthers and their backup quarterback. They had no choice but to go with Andy Dalton, and he had problems.
Yeah, he had problems. I still think Seattle's defense isn't that great. I mean, he did throw for 300 yards, Dalton, but they took care of business. They got the job done. 37-27. Kenneth Walker looking good. Two touchdowns for him, Scotty, the second one yesterday on CBS.
Smith on a handoff. Walker. Nobody there. Walker takes it in for the score.
Yeah, I mean, Geno had it going. That's a tough place to play. Anytime you go there, you got a situation on your hands at Lumen with the 12th man, no doubt. But Seattle back on track.
I refuse, the only other game we haven't done, I refuse to give you any highlights or post-game sound from the Chief-Bear game for two reasons, Scotty. Number one, the Bears are absolutely pathetic. And number two, I can't listen to the Travis Kelce and the singer stuff anymore. I can't do it. So the Chiefs won 41-10 yesterday. So good job by them. They destroyed the Bears. Bears defensive coordinator Alan Williams, the reports are, resigned after inappropriate conduct. That is frowned upon for Alan Williams. So that's why he resigned last week, allegedly, there from the Chicago Bears. Let's talk about tonight. We have, as you and Davis were just discussing, a Monday Night Football double dip. And I heard you say, I think, to Adam earlier, and I'm with you. I think we should now make this the standard. I like the two games. I like the two games on Monday night. Gives you a chance, if one game absolutely sucks, to just go over to the other one. And if both games are decent, you know, they're staggered enough that you'll catch the end of both of them. So I actually think this is a cool idea that they've started. I think they're going to do it again later in the season also. First game is in Tampa, where the Eagles come calling. Both teams 2-0 going into this. But the Eagles, Scotty, you know, they haven't looked great. Some say they don't look like last year. Hurts doesn't look like last year. Hurts doesn't really care, Scotty, because all he cares about is winning. Here's Jalen Hurts.
So when you think about how it gets done, that's what everybody else wants to talk about. But
aren't they playing differently against you? I mean, okay, obviously you ran last week.
Right. But isn't there what I'm telling you is, it's not about me, it's about us. And so if they are doing something there for me, we got 250 yards rushing to, you know, to do that. And so there are multiple ways to win. And the thing that I want to make clear is, when did winning not become the main thing? I always say, keep the main thing, where, you know, winning is the only thing that truly matters.
I mean, look, I said it before, his QBR is awful, 29th in the league. I don't believe for 1 minute he's as bad as it's looked so far. Their secondary, they've had injuries left and right. Everyone talks, you heard Adam Kaplan talking about how great their front is and how great their pass rush is and how they're unstoppable. Best in the league, he called it. The best front in the league. I'm not sure I'm buying that either. They have not looked like the team that went to the Super Bowl. But then again, who does? Everyone tries to tie a season into the previous season every single year. That's all we get. They're doing it with Jacksonville now. They're automatic, going to have a great year, going to win the division, going to go deep in the playoffs. The run. Same with the Giants. Made it to the divisional semi. I said, oh, they're going to the NFC title game. They're not going anywhere. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. All these teams, including the Eagles, don't appear to be the team they were last year at all because it's a new season, new team, new opponents, new games, new schedule, here, there, everywhere. Tonight they're in Tampa. Nothing has been easy for them. That game in Gillette wasn't easy, Mike. I mean, they have not looked that sharp.
They have not. You talk about that front and that Eagles defense. Well, Baker Mayfield gets to face them tonight. Here are his thoughts on them.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, their front seven, they're a special defense. They have been for the last few years for a reason. It's those guys. Obviously, it you know, starts with the interior guys. Got great edge rushers. Had tremendous years last year. So we're wary of that. We're going to be ready for it. Yeah, but, I mean, they get paid, too. They're going to have good plays. We're going to have bad plays. And you just got to adjust and go off that. So it's about handling the little bumps in the road throughout the game and making sure we get the last punch.
I'm on Philly, but I am worried. I got to be honest. That's a big piece at five and a half for some. I got it at five. I think it's a problem. I think this guy can play. I like his style. I like his kind of moxie. He goes for it. He's a gamer. He slings it. He's tough. I don't have anything but respect for his game. I got to be honest with you. People can say whatever they want. This guy balls out every time he plays. What he did for the Rams last year was ridiculous. What he's doing in Tampa right now is spot on. So I think the Eagles have their hands full tonight. I did bet Philly, but I'm scared to death of the bet. The number's gigantic to me. Five in the NFL to me is like, it might as well be 10.
Yep, it's a very tricky line. I actually saw it this morning at some places get down to 4.5. They've all kind of gone back up to 5.5 now. Yeah, and now they've kind of leveled back at 5.5. The total's 44. I kind of like the Bucks with the points, to be quite honest with you tonight. I kind of do like the Bucks with the points.
I won't be surprised if you hit it.
Yeah, I've got some other things that I'm going to be involved with, though, as well in this game. Let me give you the most bet props for the Eagle-Buck game tonight. Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown, of course, even money there. A.J. Brown to score the first touchdown, 9-1. Rashad White under 48.5, minus 140. Cade Otton, Tampa tight end, over 25.5 yards, and A.J. Brown over 68.5 receiving yards, the most bet props for tonight.
I mean, that's crazy. I'd have to see it again to give you a reaction to it. It's hard for me to look at it from a distance, and then it goes away. And so, which one do you like the best, Carver Hyder? Anytime Teddy from Hurts, I'm not sure the way he's played. Touchdown, that's honestly rolling the dice. And what do you got? White with under in the rushing? I can see that. They don't give up a lot on the ground. They give it up in the air.
They don't.
And
I like Hurts' touchdowns a lot for one. Now, he had two last week against the Vikings at home in that Thursday night game. And the reason why I like the Hurts ones usually, Scotty, is like, you know, if they're inside the five, they're going to do the play where they just push him into the end zone. You know you're going to get that play where they ram him in. And you get opportunities for that, which is why I do like Hurts. I kind of like him for first touchdown, too, and not Brown. But Brown, remember, was upset last game. They had the little incident on the sideline. They were talking to each other. So you might see him maybe try to force Brown a little bit, especially early on in this contest.
He's a little primo for me, prima donna. I can't deal with all of his complaining. And on the other side, like it's like we're not even talking about Evans. Are you kidding me? Like, this guy's a stud.
Evans was awesome last week when they beat – the first 2 weeks he's been awesome. Really good last week when they beat the Bears. So we're going to get ourselves involved with some Buck stuff, too. I have a Buck, of course, in my touchdown selections for tonight, which we will get to momentarily. The other game will be in Cincinnati with the Rams and the Bengals rematch of the Super Bowl from a couple years ago, Scotty, out in L.A. where the Rams beat them. We have discussed that one a lot. I don't know why we didn't throw the ball to T. Higgins. Oh. That's for sure. Now, of course, the discussion all week has been about Joe Burrow. Is he going to play tonight? Limited at practice all week long. We know the deal with the calf. The reports today are he's feeling better. Well, of course he's feeling better. It's game day and he wants to play. And that they're going to, you know, let him decide after warming up. We'll see. Now, the Bengals did elevate quarterback Reed Sinnett from the practice squad to the active roster tonight. So that means they're going to, if he does play, they'll have three quarterbacks on the roster. We'll see what happens with that. Here is Zach Taylor. If Burrow can't go or has to come out, he's confident in Jake Browning to be able to get the job.
That's a challenge. When you don't have your starting quarterback, that's a challenge. But again, we've invested time and effort into Jake, and Jake's matched that. And so, again, the guys are on 53-man roster on this team for a reason. We believe in them. We know we're going to call upon everybody at some point. And the quarterback position is no different.
Okay, so here's how I see that in Portuguese. If Burrow goes down and re-injures or tears that calf, their season's over. Jake Browning sucks.
I wouldn't have a problem disagreeing with that at all. That's for sure.
Okay.
And if you're right, if he doesn't play, they're in big trouble. Like they're in like the kind of trouble that the Jets are in, right?
Yeah.
You know, they don't really have, you know, they don't have Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston, you know, coming in as
Mike,
a guy that can actually move the football down the field.
They're in big trouble with him. He's been playing and he's been playing like
good.
Crap.
Have not looked good at all over the first 2 weeks. Let's hear from Sean McVay on the Rams side of things. Of course, first time facing the Bengals, like we said, since they won that Super Bowl. McVay doesn't care about stuff like that.
You don't talk about that much. What you do talk about is that there is continuity and consistency with some of their coaches that are coordinators, or, you know, obviously Zach was still the head coach, and they still have some players that were a part of that. They still have a lot of players that were a part of that Super Bowl appearance in 21. So that's as far as it gets. But, you know, every single year, every game presents new challenges. But, you know, you look at some of those things, I think you'd be silly not to do that. But, you know, Cincinnati's going to be rocking. It's a great atmosphere. They're a great football team. It's way too early to get caught up into records and things of that nature. We know what these guys, you know, how talented they are. We know how well coached they are. And so we're looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah, I got to tell you, another scary game betting. But here's my thinking. How in God's name can the Cincinnati Bengals, who are one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl, let's face facts, they're a favorite to go to the AFC Championship game, clearly, and they have looked terrible. And you're going to tell me, after they lost to the Ravens, who had their entire team in the hospital, and they still kicked their ass. They won by three, but they kicked their ass the whole day. They owned them the whole day. The Bengals were down the whole game. They looked terrible. And you're going to tell me that they're going to lose again at home in the jungle on Monday Night Football and go to 0-3. Their season is over. If they lose this game tonight, I don't care who their quarterback is. They're done. Their season is over. If they don't win this game tonight, and I mean, they need to go out and play well. They need to go out and beat this Rams team by a touchdown or more and quit screwing around here. And that I laid 2.5. And I'll tell you what, if they don't get it done, you can write them off. Put them in hell in a bucket. They're done.
It has gone back to 3 with the news that it sounds like Burrow is going to give it a go tonight. So Bengals minus 3, 45.5 is the total. I'm on the Rams tonight with the 3. Going back to 3, I'm going to take the Rams because of how the Bengals have looked.
How do you feel about the total? Because I got some of my friends that believe the under's in play. I got another guy that goes, these teams score like they're in the 50s, their games. So like every week, their games are
in
the 50s, 60s, some. The Ravens-Bengal game was in the 60s. You like the over 45.5?
If Burrow's playing, I like the over. Burrow's not playing, absolutely not. I can't trust whatever kid they're bringing in, Browning, to score me points. So that's only if Burrow plays.
I can't make that bet until literally sometime around 7:45, they're kicking it at 8. I'm not doing anything until right before the game. I got to see that guy is definitely going and that he's okay.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
fans love today in Carver High history.
They certainly do. We'll start in 1962 today. Sonny Liston knocks out Floyd Patterson in the first round to win the heavyweight championship of the world. 1965, Casey Athletic Satchel Paige pitches three scoreless innings at 60 years old. Today in 1974, Dr. Frank Job performs the first reconstruction of the UCL in the elbow on a Dodgers pitcher named Tommy John. Of course, that's the surgery that we now know it as today. 81, Astros pitcher Nolan Ryan throws his fifth career no-hitter. In 86, Astros pitcher Mike Scott threw a no-hitter. That was against the Giants. 88 at the Seoul Olympics, Florence Griffith Joyner wins the women's 100 meters in record time while the Americans sweep the medals in the long jump. Carl Lewis took the gold. 89, Wade Boggs becomes the first player in Major League history to get 200 hits and 100 walks in four consecutive years. 94, Oliver McCall knocked TKO's Lennox Lewis in the second round for the heavyweight championship of the world. 2000 at the Summer Olympics, Vince Carter jumps over Frederick Weiss, the dunk of death.
Slow him down, which he did, but Payton still goes right at it, misfires. Bonato gets with a sloppy pass. Carter inside. And the crowd responds to a spectacular dunk from Vince Carter.
Now you see why Frederick Weiss is going to go play in Greece. He didn't want to see that on a nightly basis. My goodness, he was shot out of a rocket.
Vince's onion scraping him on his grill.
They're all clowning Vice on the TV broadcast, too. Oh, my God. 2005, U.S. beats the international team to win the President's Cup. Forget the President's Cup. We have the Ryder Cup this week. In Rome, get excited. Big golf tournament. 2020, Rory wins the PGA Championship in the COVID year. 2020 wins the PGA Tour Championship. Hasn't won a major in a while. That's the Tour Championship in a playoff to win the $10 million. Just remember that. All right. He has not won a major.